Winning at life. Live. This is Live Financial News Talk Radio. I'm your host, Gregory Ricks.
Woohoo!
What a day in the books. Yeah, we're going to talk about some stuff that I never imagined. Besides that, Mark kind of had a down day as well. People are pushing back more. Like, look, let's unlock the country. Getting squeakier. Mayor in New Orleans came out and said she wasn't going to be bullied. I didn't know she was being bullied, but not going to open things up early in that case as well. Look, and let's talk about some investing and savings. And I'm going to give you some information on leveraged ETFs.
I know what that's all about.
504-260-0995.
All right, I'm your co-host, James Parker. Gregory is being very generous with his context. Let me put it in a way that's a little more of a blunt object upside your head. For the first time in 4,000 years of trading, oil was bought for a negative price. That's how historic today was. Someone paid a negative price for oil. Now, there's a lot of nuance in there, and this is mostly sort of a paper thing, and Gregory's going to explain the details of how we ended up in this historic situation, because it's really not as bad as it sounds. But that's how big it is. Of course, coronavirus reaction, the economic fallout, the stimulus packages, trying to get help. Phones are open for those. That still dominated the conversation on Saturday's show, so if you need to jump in and tap Gregory's head, 504-260-0995. All right, I have four clips from the press conference today, the coronavirus task force. Can we go ahead and do that now?
Yeah.
All right. So President Trump and what has become daily must-see TV. I think this is the four main points you need to know. Number one, he started off pretty optimistic.
We continue to be encouraged that many of the areas hardest hit by the virus appear to have turned the corner. For example, recent deaths are down very, very substantially. You can compare that with their peak not so long ago. And you have numbers of 30%, 25%. In Detroit, as an example, it's down by over 50%. Congratulations. And in New Orleans, where they've done a terrific job, they're down 65%.
Hey, New Orleans got mentioned there. Didn't say anything about bullying the mayor, but... we're doing a little better. Is that too optimistic, Gregory? Because I look at the numbers and I'm like, all right, maybe 1% of the country has even been exposed to this so far. Let's not say we're past the peak yet. We're past the peak for everything being shut down, but that's going to go up as soon as we open the doors, I think.
I was reading about some of the testing, and what's surprising is some of the areas where they've been testing, they're showing one out of five are positive in testing, and it's some of the harder hit areas, okay? One out of five testing, and that's when they weren't doing much testing. And then when they were doing more testing, that's 20%, right?
Yes.
So when they doubled testing, what do you think, how the percentage-wise?
Probably went down.
Okay. And then they doubled up again on testing and doubled the amount that were being testing. And guess what? And you would think it would go down even more. And they're still at 20%.
But it didn't go down?
Didn't. No, it did not. That's why I wanted to take you to part three with the increase again. That testing, and you would think that it's equivalent of having a small jar of jelly beans and you grab a handful and gosh, one out of five are bad. Okay. Well, I'm not saying a small jar, but you have a big old jar and you just grab a handful. Okay. So I grab two handfuls and it's still the same percent. Well, let me get a scooper for this and they're still 20% bad. What does that tell me? Tells me the infected rate is higher than we know in that data. Overall, I believe because we don't do enough testing, and testing is selective, meaning you're testing people that, based on everything I'm seeing, you probably have it. I don't want to waste the test. But if they're testing, they're also likely candidates. But we have the asymptomatic and others not being tested. I'm just telling you percentage when you kind of say, well, only probably 1% of the population's had it. More have had it. It's a higher percent. I don't know what that is, but you've got certain sections of the country that would probably be much less than the norm because they're not having a problem. Those where there's lots of problems, there's a lot more. And I, from my reading and research, is it was here before we knew it as well, spreading.
That kind of sounds like good news. Next clip.
It helps. If we do have more of the population, we've done pretty well with it. If I'm right, and from based on that research I've read, that's probably good news because it lowers the death rate percentage. percentage as well. Once again, is a good thing.
Well, it means we're much closer to herd immunity than we thought, too. The next big chunk he addressed here was the PPP, the Paycheck Protection Program. We're told it ran out of money within just a few days of being enacted. Efforts to recharge it have thus been thwarted, but it looks like he's optimistic on this as well.
My administration continues to press Congress to replenish the enormously successful Paycheck Protection Program, which has impacted 30 million American jobs. We hope to have an agreement very soon, and hopefully tomorrow the Senate's going to be able to vote. A lot of progress has been made on that, tremendous progress. It's a great plan. It's a great plan. It's helped a lot of people. So we hope to have a vote maybe tomorrow in the Senate.
Pretty sure that's passing, right, Gregory?
Yeah, it's going to pass. It kind of has.
I mean, the only details we don't know is how much pork besides that's in there, right?
That we don't know. And hopefully it's not much. I'll tell you, the public's tolerance of pork, Shake Shack's an example, a number of other companies, Ruth's, I could name more, but people that, you know, small businesses, my foot, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think public says, look, if we're going to dole out money, let's get it to those that need it instead of those that don't.
All right. Donald Trump also announced that they're taking advantage of the super low oil prices.
And based on the record low price of oil that you've been seeing, it's at a level that's very interesting to a lot of people. We're filling up our national petroleum reserves, strategic reserves. And we're looking to put as much as 75 million barrels into the reserves themselves. That would top it out. That would be first time in a long time it's been topped out. We'd get it for the right price.
Yeah, that would be a pretty good price, wouldn't it, Gregory? When has it ever been better? They didn't get any of that negative oil, did they? Because that would have been a great deal for the taxpayers. Not only did we top off the oil reserves, but we got some money for it.
Well, you want to get...
We don't have time. I know exactly where you're going. I have one more clip, and we're going to do your long explanation in the next segment.
Yeah, well, there's a lot more to it than
other people need to hear what you told me about 2 o'clock this afternoon. Okay. All right, then the next little chunk, I thought this was important. He actually gave some more details on the new bill that may be voted in as soon as tomorrow.
We're also pushing for the deal to include an additional $75 billion, our deal. We're talking about $75 billion for hospitals and other healthcare providers. Many providers and their employees have taken a huge financial hit in recent weeks and visits, elective procedures, surgeries, et cetera, were canceled. We think that they can all get back online. They'll get it done. The hospitals have really been fantastic. The hospitals, they've stepped up to the plate. They've really done a great job. We appreciate it so much.
All right. I think that's the four big points from the coronavirus task force briefing you need to know about today.
I'm glad they're getting the money out to help. What was that last part regarding the...
$75 billion for hospitals, you know, cover some of their costs for building out the extra beds or having to rent the hospitals or the extra PPEs. I didn't hear any hospitals asking for it, and I didn't know the hospitals were doing this for free. If you go to the hospital with corona, aren't you going to get a bill for it? So I think they're just going to cover some of the shorted bills.
They already had said that if you treat a patient and they don't have insurance and they have COVID-19, you're going to get paid.
That's what that is.
You know, and I think they're basically, those cases will fall under the Medicare pricing, I believe they also pointed out.
Great.
Interesting correlation there, huh?
Mm-hmm. Medicare for all. We did make some changes over the weekend to the GregoryRicks.com/coronavirus page. This is where you'd get some financial help dealing with the coronavirus. We're not going to deal with the medical part. We're just all about the money. So if you normally file a tax return, or if you don't normally file a tax return, you can use the IRS's non-filers tax tool that they just announced last week. It's linked on GregoryRicks.com/coronavirus. Also, if you've moved since you last filed your taxes and can't provide direct deposit information, you can change your address at the link that we added over the weekend as well. So a couple more things. And IRS.gov, get my payment, actually in parentheses next to where that link is. I retyped it out there so you know that's where that one's going. Yeah, that's about it.
We do a Saturday show from 10 to 1 live as well. Lots of callers every Saturday. It was like another crazy day. I don't know what the count was. I don't know if it was a record amount, but it was close to it there. But the last caller, don't remember his name, but he's on a pension from the VA. No need to do his taxes and does not qualify for Social Security benefits. So his pension is the VA. And one of his concerns is, do I get a stimulus check? And I was not able to answer that because it was last caller. We had, what, 60 seconds to go before we went off the air, so I couldn't answer it. But I did check after and found out the Internal Revenue Service had confirmed that recipients of VA benefits will automatically receive economic impact payments. That means that veterans and their beneficiaries who receive compensation and pension benefit payments from the VA will receive the $1,200 economic impact payment. The move was in coordination among the Department of Veteran Affairs, the Department of Treasury, IRS, and get this, Bureau of Fiscal Services. So previously, the IRS had already confirmed, you know, Social Security retirement or disability benefits or supplemental security income and railroad retirement benefits would receive the automatic payment. So since the VA recipients typically aren't required to file tax returns, the IRS had to work this out with some other government agencies to determine a way to quickly and accurately deliver the EIPs. Has anybody come up with that yet? EIPs? I hadn't heard that used, but the EIPs, economic impact payments. Now they did say, I'll go on here. Additionally, they had more programming work to do, but these steps simplifies the process for VA recipients to quickly and easily receive their EIPs. Kind of not like EMPs. But.
Well, it's one of those things where certainly they're not going to leave out that group of people. We just didn't have the source in front of us that confirmed what we suspected.
And it turned out it's a bit complicated as well, but they're getting it done. They will receive their payments. So that was good to find out. Nothing additional had to be done for that as well.
All right. I need you to put on your tweed jacket with the little patches on the elbows because you're going to teach us all what the heck happened to oil today. Because did the price of oil really go negative? No, just the futures contracts that are due this week and the speculators can't be holding back because they don't have anywhere to put the oil. So they're going to have to give it up to somebody and nobody wanted it. So they had to pay people to take it off their hand and did a little more digging. If you look at the futures contracts for June, they're a more reasonable twice.
Yeah, price. They closed at $20.43 June futures. So honestly, oil trades at future prices a few months out. They're really not trading, you know, like, can I buy oil futures for a year from now? No, they're short term, but you had a squeeze because settlement date is tomorrow. And CSO, that ETF, controls about 25% of the futures market. And they're run by a couple of New York banks and firms up there. And being settlement dates tomorrow, they had to unload that because they're not in the business of accepting crude delivery. They're only dealing in trading the futures of it. So all of a sudden is they needed to offload those futures because they needed to transition to next month's out. And they're wanting to basically go a little bit beyond that looking so that they don't get in this bind again, kind of almost going 60 days out. So what has happened is they wanted to offload West Texas Intermediate, which is out there in Oklahoma. And that's kind of the pricing of U.S. crude. So no, technically oil did not drop to negative 37, but those future contracts, CSO can't take delivery of it and wanted to find somebody else. And essentially it's like, no, I don't want that oil either. I can't do anything with it tomorrow. And that's kind of when we go back to 0% or negative interest rates. It's kind of like, I've got some money. I want to put it in your bank. We don't want your money. Well, what yield are you paying? We're not paying any yield, but I'd like to place it there. Well, I don't want it. Well, how can I get it into your bank? Oh, you can pay us some money to leave it here. That's one way of defining negative interest rate. So when you saw it dropping there on the futures today on West Texas Intermediate, WTI, basically they're saying nobody wanted it. So it kept going down until it became negative and it closed at a negative $37.63. It actually, I thought, had found stability around $30. I said, okay, there's buyers, meaning, yeah, I'll take your oil, but you got to pay me to do so. Not only free, but you got to pay me to take it off your hands. And so it's a combination of that, nobody wanting it, but there is a problem of where are we going to put this oil? We're going to run out of places to put this oil at this point. And this world is used to running on about, you know, somewhere ballpark, it's a little more, has been normally running on about 100 million barrels a day of oil. And you realize the biggest user of oil, one sector, biggest user of oil on the planet is jetliners. They love that stuff. And they go through it like no tomorrow. And over 2/3 of them are parked right now. So the world's used to is ramped up to produce $100 million barrel a day, and nobody's going anywhere for the most part. So, but oil's still being produced. And then you had a few weeks back, Russia and Saudi Arabia get into an oil battle here. Well, we're not cutting, we're increasing.
Great.
So push come to shove, nobody's wanting those future contracts for tomorrow. So basically what you had is the June settled at 2043. Our Brent crude settled at $25.57. So don't go crazy thinking you're going to go up to the gas pump and they're going to pay you to take the gasoline. That's not going to happen.
That would be sweet.
Negative prices on gasoline. They're paying us to put it in our cars. No, not going to happen. So you had basically options expiring and nobody wanted to take delivery. So this is a problem we have coming of where to put all this stuff and it's causing everything to shut down. Nobody, if somebody was drilling a hole, they just put a stop to everything.
Can we get into the oil storage business? Can we get some investors and start building a storage facility?
I was thinking, you know, that the stuff that stops water. I saw one of those commercials. He had water coming out the side of this barrel and grabbed a glob of stuff and threw on it and it sealed it up.
Oh, flex tape. Stopped.
Yeah. It wasn't tape. It was some mound of mush and it just stopped
they've got the
water.
The potty now, yeah.
But I'm thinking, can we go get some of that, seal up some buildings and fill it with oil? You know, if you have something that's leaky, you can still hold oil. Think about it.
Yeah, the Superdome could hold a lot and we're not using it anyway. What are we doing with all these stadiums?
A lot of stadiums.
The Astrodome. They're really not using that for anything. Even if football cranks back up, we found something to do with the Astrodome. How about that? Okay, so I kind of smarted off last week when oil was finishing at $20 a barrel. I was like, Gregory, how do we not go get in one of these oil ETFs and make a bank? And then I woke up this morning and it was at $11. And I told the wife, I'm like, that's it. I'm just going to slide all of our money over into the nearest oil ETF and we're going to score. There's no way.
Especially the leveraged one, huh?
Yes. I was like, there's no way you could lose if you bought at 11. I think hypothetically, if I would have dove in, the ETF I would have been a part of could have been gone. Did some of these ETFs go away today? USO, US oil, the oil ETF that we normally reference is at $3.73. But so did some of these other ones just die on the vine? How did they survive?
Well, you had over $1 billion move into USO last week, one of the biggest weeks of money inflow into it. And it actually
went down.
And I may have quoted the wrong one. I'll correct that when I come back from the break. But I'll talk to you about the squeeze on ETFs as well. And if you go looking for them, you might not find any.
Did someone really pay negative prices for oil today? Not exactly, but they did pay negative for the paper. And now that we understand how it gets negative, what happens from here? Do ETFs go negative? I guess your gasoline's never going to be negative, but what are some of the
Last
effects?
Week, traders put in $1.6 billion into USO. So I was right on that. USO, which traded down 11% today. Remember, the ones that, the primary trader of WTI, and they control about 25% of the market, had to unload their May contracts to move further out because of expirations. There became a squeeze because nobody wanted it and there's no place to put oil. So it became a really big problem. So it moving down 11%, that's pretty big hit on those that bought in at $1.6 billion last week. Now, here's some of the things where you started texting me this morning, said, what are those leverage? Can I get 10 times the upside of oil? And when you start going out here and doing a search, and I did today, to my surprise, and this isn't the first time this has happened. However, most of those ETFs are gone. And this is kind of a stability problem for USO as well. So I've had other people reaching out to me about, well, can I get some leverage? And these things don't quite work like like you think they do. These are really, if you're doing this leveraged, and you shouldn't, it's really for short-term plays. That's like if you go out there and look at for UWT or Velocity Shares 3x Long Crude ETN or UWT, and guess what? It no longer trades anything. They had forced redemptions. I'm just telling you, a lot of people lost a lot of money because of that. And the common assumption is that a leveraged or inverse ETP offers some multiplier of the total return of the index. That is to say 3x the S&P 500 index ETF will provide you triple the returns of the S&P 500. Intuitively, that seems to make sense. However, you're wrong. Leveraged and inverse ETPs instead offer some multiplier of the daily return of the underlying index, meaning that 3x the S&P 500 ETF will provide triple of whatever the daily return is. So what you're going out there thinking is you're getting exponential returns, but you're not. So compounding makes bigger, big drops bigger. And that's where people have gotten this. Well, I'm buying more for when it comes back. It's just not coming back to you the way that you think.
So if I'd have done my little master plan and took all my money and got in this morning, I very well could have been hosed.
You could have been hosed, and you'll have trouble coming back to it. So you might assume one of two things: ETF will come right back to you, or that it will close where you expected it to be. And it's just not, there's a good bit of math, and I don't want to get too technical on the show, but I've got a couple of articles I'm going to post on the blog news blog at gregoryricks.com news blog. It's a tab at the .com that will give you some rundowns on how this works, which will probably give you the idea that, yeah, I'm glad I didn't pull the trigger on those things.
Well, I already know the answer to this question just because I've been sitting across from you for a decade, but if you're subscribed to the 50-50-50 plan, how much were you damaged by oil going negative today?
You weren't.
George Mandeville, you're next up on Winning It Life with Gregory Ricks. How can we help you, George?
First off, thanks, guys, for talking to me the other day. My accountant is speaking to the IRS on my behalf. Gregory, thank you for your advice.
Great.
Switching gears, the stimulus package. I know everyone's getting $1,200. Help me understand this if I am correct. When I file my taxes this coming year, or my mother files her taxes, because I'm calling for my mother, if she's supposed to get $800 back from the federal government, does that mean that she's not going to get that back and owe them $400 more because she's got to repay it? How is that working?
Okay, repeat that one more time. She,
if you got $1,200 on your stimulus package, okay?
Okay.
And for what I understand, it's like a credit on your income taxes. I don't know if they're adding it to your gross earnings, what they're doing with it. What I was trying to find out for her is, next year, if she was supposed to receive a $800 refund from the IRS, the federal government, instead of her getting that $800 back, they would keep that and she would owe them an additional $400 to cover the $1,200 that they gave her that she's returning?
No, doesn't work like that. She's going to net out $1,200 plus. The IRS is kicking it out, and they have their methodology to do that. James, you used the phrase the other day.
The Steve Mnuchin phrase is, this is an advance on a tax credit that will be added to this year's tax bill.
To the 2020. Right. And that's why when people do their taxes, like had kids born this year, it's going to work out that they'll get that $500 for that child born this year. But
it's a tax credit.
Right. So if she's getting $800 back, this credit's still in there as well. It's not washing out her $800 that she's getting back.
Excellent. Excellent, gentlemen. Thank you for the answer. I appreciate
it. Thanks for listening.
Have a good evening.
Thanks, George. Bye-bye. Good to hear from you again.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Yeah, and that was kind of an interesting call from Saturday. You go ahead. Finish your point.
It's just that they had to figure out a way to get money out to a lot of people as quickly as possible, and the IRS methodology was the quickest way to make an impact, because last time they did a stimulus program decade ago, it didn't go so well. Was it timely?
Okay. Yeah, I don't want to get political. We'll skip the rest of that part. So it looks like the small business loan deal could get voted on as soon as tomorrow. And the last number I saw get tossed around before the show started, $370 billion is how much this proposal is so far. I think we're finding finding out the hard way that you can throw trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars at this. It's not going to make up for 22 million Americans losing their job. You just can't throw money at that problem. Is that too simple, Gregory? Is that too cynical, maybe?
No, it doesn't make up for that. It is a short-term fix for some of the people. And the small business PPP is a short-term fix for some of the businesses. We as a country can't pay for everybody's loss or absorb it. There is no mountain of money, but trying to create some help to kind of keep this kind of struggling along here to where we can get things cranked back up. And I expect the markets to come back quicker than the GDP, than the economy. It's going to be a slower road because everybody's not surviving this in the short term. Where we talk about most people not having emergency savings, this was kind of kicking that out there. For most businesses that don't have emergency capital, the PPP is kind of that help. But for a lot, it's not going to be enough. And it's just, you get into a bind when you have an emergency and don't have money. And this, we're seeing this everywhere, and we're going to see it in business as well. And everybody's not going to recover.
Real quick, what are people asking about after they see a webinar? You know, what's the response like? You did three of them this weekend. Have you seen a change in questions?
No, questions are typically similar to what you're seeing on the show. Just people are wanting to set up 15-minute phone calls and get more information. They've got questions about their personal situations and wanting help. USO is a ETF. It's kind of defined as a pure play fund that tracks crude oil prices. It's the largest, most liquid of future-backed oil ETFs. There are some that follow energy sectors and such as well. Roughly with 28 million shares exchanging hands daily and roughly $1.4 billion in assets. And this is outdated numbers here because we've had more flowing in. You had over $1.6 billion flow in last week, and volume is tremendous. But what the data here I have shows that its correlation over the last 5 years was about a 0.96% correlation. One is the highest correlation with crude. So something like this that is going crazy like this would scare me. And I don't know that there's anything leveraged out there because it was all squeezed out. And the leverage does not give you leverage like you think it will from a percentage or exponential upside. It's just giving you an increase or decrease of the daily average movement. And honestly, I think it can hurt you more on the downside than going up on the outside. And it's a shortcut to actually doing options, which options are risky as well. So it turns out that a options play on ETFs kind of has a bunch of risk as well. So be careful out there on that stuff. Might even avoid it. You know, when we were talking earlier, you brought up a game. You said, well, that's kind of like craps game. And I said, well, that's kind of super, super complicated game because you know what? That's not an easy casino game to play. It's super complicated as well. But in that game, you have a pass line. It is kind of like an options game, like options in the market. Your options are kind of like bets. They expire, so they have an intrinsic value of time, but those options will expire. And that's why USO, what was happening today is getting ahead of options and delivery. And it just got ugly wanting to get out of those at the end, but those had to be sold because they didn't want delivery of the crude. So they were paying somebody else to take them. But in the game of craps, you can place bets on whoever's throwing the dice. And if something goes wrong with that, those that have placed bets, or what is it, hit sevens? I don't remember. It's been
right.
I played it long, long, long time ago. And then everybody loses their bets on that. So it's kind of like the day in the options on oil was an ugly day for that. A lot of money lost.
I was working on that metaphor, and I think it would be like if you were playing Wheel of Fortune and you spin the wheel, and when you land on bankrupt, all three of you lose all your money. That might be a little better.
Yeah, that's a much simpler thing. But I was thinking about the options regarding the game of craps. Gosh, that's so complicated. And I know nothing about that other than if you throw dice and if you hit something, the wrong number, it makes it all, you're done.
On the first roll, if you roll a 2, 3, or 12, you lose. If you roll a 7 or 11, you win instantly. If you roll something else, that becomes your point. Then you keep rolling until you either hit the point or the 7. If you hit the point, you win. If you hit a 7, you lose.
And those that have
placed everybody bets loses
too.
And guess what's the most common thing to roll with 2 dice? It's a 7. It has the most combinations.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, enough on that glass. But that's kind of what we're
Gregory
dealing with. It just, you could have never told me that you would see such a squeeze on oil like all right that ever.
So we're big fans of night school, continuing education, and I see we got you working late. There's a webinar tonight at 8:30. This is the first time we've done a nighttime webinar. This is the first time we've done a webinar with the sun down, isn't it? I don't even think we've done one past sunset, much less 8:30. So we've heard your recommendations. We've heard what you've been asking. The complaint has been, why you got to do it on the weekends? Why you got to do it at the end of the day? My job hasn't been interrupted. I would like to know more about these 401ks, but I have things to do on the weekend. I have a job during the day. So this is for you. We're doing one tonight at 8:30. Then there's another one tomorrow morning at 9:30 for the early birds. That's we've already covered you. But then we're doing another one tomorrow night. And by we, I mean Gregory. Tuesday, 8:30 p.m. All right. So we've set up two for the late people. I'm one of them. So don't think I'm judging you. I'm a late person myself. I don't want to do a webinar at 9:30 a.m. I'd rather do 8:30 p.m. So got you working late, Gregory. I'm going to get off work before you do tonight. So you can sign up for those gregoryricks.com. We put it under the events tab, but it's also, there's a link to it on the coronavirus page. Or if you're on the Winning at Life app, the coronavirus page is on the front. There's a little front button there, and you can sign up for the webinar from your phone if you go to the Winning at Life app. I know, it's 2020. We have all kinds of cute little tricks up our sleeve. Okay, Gregory, have you seen this where there is a lawsuit in the works? Lawyers have talked about or threatened to sue some colleges, and actually some plaintiffs have already filed the lawsuits against individual schools. So a lawsuit's been launched for any student who paid the bill for an on-campus experience, even though campuses are closed. It's called collegerefund2020.com. I just saw this on foxbusiness.com earlier today. And at first I kind of laughed, but then I kind of thought, wait a second, Gregory actually has some kiddos going through the college process. Does this make sense to you? With suing the college for not getting a full on-campus experience for the spring semester during the coronavirus pandemic? And really, do you think they could win?
No.
All right, well, that was simple.
Did they get their grades? They get an opportunity to finish school?
It's different from university to university. I don't think there is one solid answer for those. Because when they go through it on Fox Business, they talk about how, like, Harvard says that we'll refund room and board charges, but we're keeping the tuition. Stanford says we'll eliminate room and board dining charges, but only for students who actually left campus. You know, I don't know, really, is my answer for that, but that seems like an interesting side story.
Yeah, well, I could see on campus dorm and the cafeteria food being given some credits for that when you come back. But as far as your classes and grades, they switched to online. You were getting the education you paid for. I could see them arguing that and winning.
I would just say, look, if I get my grade, that's all I'm really paying for. I'm not really paying for the joy of going down that hallway and sitting in that class. It's all about the paper, isn't it?
Yeah, at the end of the day, I think so. That's a tough argument. So you didn't get what you paid for, because isn't that what you're paying for, is the degree?
You should be paying for that education that's in your brain. It make you a better person, Gregory. That's why you go to college.
That is what you're paying for, is that education. And if you complete everything as requested, you get a degree.
All right, can I end the show by...
And I noticed they don't put GPAs on that, by the way.
Oh, on your degree?
Yeah.
That's a good point, huh?
Yeah.
Degree's a degree. Do you want to read the highlighted portion, or can I?
You.
All right.
It was pretty good, because... Go ahead.
Well, I'm kind of, I have a personality flaw that lets me enjoy when people are so, so wrong. And this comes from the New York Times, March 4th, 1977, just a couple months before I was born. They were criticizing Jimmy Carter. They were criticizing him from the left, which I thought was hilarious. But article is titled Carter's Oil Problem. It's by a guy named Tom Wicker. The highlighted portion here says, the hard truth as the Carter administration sees it is that the world's oil supplies cannot much longer sustain the world's increasing oil consumption. It is not true that if proper policies are followed, enough new oil fields can be located and tapped so that the world can go on consuming oil at present on an annual increase of about 7% in the United States. For the worst example in the world, world capacity to sustain such expansion will flatten out in the 1980s. If consumption then continues at the same level, the world's oil would disappear in the first decade of the 21st century. Woo! Oil consumption, therefore, has to be reduced here and throughout the world, and new energy sources have to be developed.
What year was this?
1977. Here we are, 43 years later. Supply has outstripped demand. It went negative.
Well, it looks like today, no worries about that. We have too much oil.
All right, you're home away from the show, winningatlife.com and the Winning at Life app. But if you're looking for financial help through this virus pandemic, GregoryRicks.com/coronavirus. And you can also sign up for the webinar coming up at 8:30. This is for what you do with that 401k at the old job, especially if you recently lost it. I'm James Parker. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.
Investment advisory services offered only by duly registered individuals through AE Wealth Management, LLC. AE Wealth Management, Gregory Ricks & Associates, W.J. Blanchard Law, LLC, J. Heath & Company, and Mortgage Gumbo are not affiliated companies. Investing involves risk, including the potential loss of principal. Any references to protection, safety, or lifetime income generally refer to fixed insurance products, never securities or investments. Insurance guarantees are backed by the financial strength and claims-paying abilities of the issuing carrier. This radio show is intended for informational purposes only. It is not intended to be used as the sole basis for financial decisions, nor should it be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual's situation. Annuities are insurance contracts designed for retirement or other long-term needs. They provide guarantees of principal and credited interest subject to surrender charges. Annuity guarantees and protections are backed by the financial strength and claims paying ability of the issuing insurer. Roth conversion is a taxable event and may have several tax-related consequences. Be sure to consult with a qualified tax advisor before making any decisions regarding your IRA. Hypothetical examples have been provided for illustrative purposes only. It does not represent a real-life scenario and should not be construed as advice designed to meet the particular needs of an individual situation. Gregory Ricks & Associates is not permitted to offer, and no statement made during the show shall constitute legal or tax advice. Our firm is not affiliated or endorsed by the U.S. government or any governmental agency. The information and opinions contained herein provided by third parties have been obtained from sources believed to be reliable, but accuracy and completeness cannot be guaranteed by Gregory Ricks & Associates. We are Winning at Life with Gregory Ricks.